Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini and the Brain. I'm here with the Kill Bill, Ashley Kaltwasser. She's full, my yellow fellow.
Yeah, I'm like a fitness banana today. You know, I thought I'd just, I like to do monochromatic looks. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
With my outfits, my makeup, my hair accessories, I like to make it all monochromatic. Oh, yes. And the book bag too.
The yellow backpack on top of the yellow.
And today I'm only eating yellow foods. Like only yellow foods, bananas and lemons. You name in yellow squash.
Okay.
Yellow rice. Yeah, all that. Okay. Just gonna be yellow today.
Yeah, I guess you could do it if you had chicken with like yellow curry sauce.
Like curried chicken.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
well,
yep. Turmeric. Yeah.
No one's gonna say you can't commit. That's a good thing.
Yes, but by the way, guys, this outfit is from Buff Bunny, which I just signed with.
Yeah. So that's part of it. So to this episode today, we're going to talk about kind of New Year's resolutions, sticking to your goals, all that, new things happening. Mm-hmm. But one of the cool things with Ashley is she did get signed with Buff Bunny.
Yes. Yeah, so if you check out their clothes, what's cool about them is they have like different clothes other than activewear. So it's like dresses and bikinis and accessories and stuff. So yeah, this jacket is Buff Bunny, this nice little jacket here. But yeah, if you check it out, use code AshKFit. Because that helps me. And I re-signed with
Hypertech. Ash K Fit or Ashley K Fit?
Ashley K Fit.
Okay.
Ashley
on Buff Bunny.
K Fit.
All right. And then you're with Hypertech again?
Yes, I re-signed with Hypertech. So, nice. And hey, we're still friends.
Yes.
So
that's a good, made it another year.
And you guys are listening to us. So, wow.
what a year.
What a great way to start 2021.
Yeah, it is a great way. I'm excited about it this year. The bar is so low for 2020. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
true.
If it's, like, it can't be any worse, right? Like, yeah. I think it can't be any worse. I mean, what would it take? It would take, like, a nuclear bomb or, like, a UFO invasion, right?
And then the bar
is so low for 2020
really
that, like, if 2021 isn't better, then I don't know what to do. So
yeah. I feel you there. I think a lot of people are feeling that same way.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. It's New Year, so we'll see how it goes.
So it's really cool. It's time for a new year, which means we have a lot of New Year's resolutions going on.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's like, is that just like more of an American tradition or is that like everywhere? Probably everywhere, right?
I assume it's everywhere.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have any?
I'm not really a resolution type person. Like, you know, I mean, if I have a goal, it's not necessarily going to start on the 1st of January. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, I do have some like, you know, things I want to work on and to improve on this year, but not necessarily a resolution. Like I'm going to quit altogether doing something or start doing something altogether. It's mostly just improving in general, you know?
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
Mine would be probably, I mean, it's not a resolution per se. I talked about a little bit last episode. It would probably be to try not to push the improvement so much. You know, I'm always like,
slow down.
I'm always, because that's one thing I always do. I'm like, I can't waste my time. Like, I'm always like in this mind frame of like, you might die tomorrow. You need to do everything you can every second you got, you know? And I think I need to smell the roses a little bit. And I'm not going to take on any projects. I just want to build the community at the Prep Center in Vegas. And my goal now has kind of shifted. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of like had to, the way I work is I have to go 100% all the time at something. And so originally, you know, last year was like, okay, build the Prep Center, build this, do that. Like I was going to have two. And then now it's like, okay, my goal is going to shift to build the community as best I can. And that's like the real focus this year. So that's, if there's a resolution, which I don't, you know, really have, but it would be to smell the roses and to build the community. Like I really want that to be like and the Denver was, but it was like so localized, you know, but this one's more, everyone can come here.
Right.
So I want it to be like the ultimate fitness community for competing people and like really work hard at that. Just like I would work hard at, like, I normally wouldn't work at that. Just kind of defaulted that way. Right. So this one I'm work hard at, just like I would work at it, like growing or building a new prep center or whatever. I'm gonna like work that hard at that. Cause I think that's more rewarding than anything.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And you have it set up too, like, you know, the ultimate goal for everyone is, well, not everyone, but it's just, you know, to get things in line so that you don't have to worry further down the road.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this gym being built in Vegas is such a good investment. Vegas is like, gosh, they have so much stuff going on in Vegas. Like so much, there's building so many things.
It's crazy.
Like I cannot go anywhere in Vegas without running into construction, which is a good thing and a bad thing, right? A bad thing because it slows it down and it's like annoying, but because they're building like stores, they're building malls, they're building houses. It's just like everywhere. So it's like, it's good that we're in a spot that's like, I mean, it was already popping, but yeah, it's really going to be popping here in the next few years, I'm sure. And I noticed that a lot of our fitness friends are moving from California to Vegas or from wherever else to Vegas. But Vegas is like the new Mecca or something like that, I feel like,
it's
right?
It's been kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, California is getting a lot of people leaving, period, because the lockdowns are so strict there. But it seems like the California people who are leaving, which is pretty mass amount of numbers because of the lockdowns, the homeless problem, they're going to Nevada and Texas. And then it seems like the New York state, a lot of people are going to Florida. So it's like, everyone's going to like, states that are just more open, you know? So, but from California, we're getting a lot of fitness people. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like every other week we hear somebody is like moving.
Like here. Big names big too. Names. Yeah. I want to announce them because I don't know if they have or not, but there's like five big names that I've heard of in the last few weeks. Like I was like, damn. Yeah. It's crazy. And then there's going to be a new gym being built too. I don't think that's announced yet, but it's another, I'll just say it's an Olympia champion is building one too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty cool. A lot's happening. So I'm excited. So with that, okay, we have the New Year's. We got to address the New Year's resolutioners. You got to, right?
Oh yeah, the New Year's resolutioners out there.
Because that's going to be, you know what? What's funny is it's like a double-edged sword with the New Year's resolutioners in the gym. And my take on it has always been the same, that like people kind of get annoyed when there's like all these new people in the gym. They're like, oh, nothing's available, especially like our people who are super hardcore. And there's like, there's nothing available in the gym. Like all these people, they're going to quit in like 2 months or whatever. And I'm the way I look at it, I look at it differently. I'm like, because at one point we all walked into a gym for the first time. Like everyone listening walked into a gym for the very first time. And it was super intimidating when you did, because I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom, like I signed up, dropped me off, and my mom was like, when do I pick you up? And I was like, 2 hours, probably 2 hours. And then the guy, Derek, who ended up being my boss like 6 years later, Derek Worthy, because I signed up, I think I was like 13. So 5 years later, he was like, what are you going to do here for 2 hours? I was like, all the machines. He's like, well, which ones? I was like, all of them. I had no idea. So then I just started like watching buff guys like work out. I was like, okay, I'll do what that buff guy did, right? Yeah. That was kind of, you know, I was 13 years old. So like, I just remember, I mean, I don't even remember that good. That was so long ago, but I could imagine, you know, at 13 years old, you get away with a lot more. You could be completely stupid in the gym and people are like, oh, he's 13, whatever, right? But I could imagine being like, you know, 25, 22, like first time in the gym. Like, you imagine like you're a little more self-conscious at that age that, you know, you're, so I feel for those people. And I think that the other thing I think of too is like, okay, we were all starting once. It doesn't matter if they started with a mass number of people or just by themselves. We all started once. Mm-hmm. They're the same as us. And the other thing too is like how many future champions and prep coaches and top athletes of our sport like started now, you know? And it's like the way I look at it is we can kind of help them and hone their journey and help their journey get to that level that they may never achieve if no one helped them, by just helping them, be like, hey, you know, just talking to them in the gym, making them feel comfortable, you know? Or we can blow them out by being like, how many sets you got left? You know?
Right, yeah, like, totally.
It is like, you know, being annoying to them. And you run into both, and I get that. But like, I get the side where your gym's busy. Like, yeah. I get that, especially now when a lot of these gyms have limited numbers.
Right.
But, but yeah, I would say, you know, be extra nice during New Year's, because you never know who you're going to affect, like who you're going to change. You know, I've had so many athletes that were like transformation athletes of mine over the years. And like, they're just like, I just want to get in shape. And now they're like personal trainers, or they've changed their whole life. Like, it's so cool to see, but it's a very vulnerable scenario when they first start.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable. So like I say, do whatever you got to do, make them comfortable, say hi extra this in January, you know? So anyway, yeah, that's, yeah. I guess that's my take on it. What's your take on?
Well, you know, something that has never like been a pet peeve of mine. I have many gym pet peeves, but like new people trying out the gym for the first time or an influx of people during New Year's is never been like, I don't know. It's never annoyed me. And also what's never annoyed me is squatting at the curl rack or curling at the squat rack. What do they say? Yes, that also never annoyed me. I'm just like, whatever, you know, just different place to do your exercise, whatever. But yeah, I think, you know, it's, I think we all have like moments in time where we can reflect on and think that person or that situation changed the way that I, you know, lived my life in whatever capacity that may be, you know? Do you ever have those like flashbacks of like, oh, this happened because this person said this to me and they came up to me. And now ever since they said that, I think differently and I do things this way. It's like, it can be one of those moments that like can make or break a person. You can be all salty because there are so many in the gym and they're taking up space, or you can be accommodating and helpful. And then maybe that person will forever remember that moment. Like, you know what? I went into a gym for the first time once and somebody was so nice to me and they helped me throughout my workout and showed me new things. And if it weren't for that person, maybe I wouldn't even have continued to work out.
Yeah.
Because you never know who's like watching or paying attention or who you can actually impact by just being like, you know, helpful or nice.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing for everyone to hear, because it is going to get a little rough out there, especially now with like in Colorado, they went back to making reservations for the gyms. Yeah. And so there's like 50 an hour and it's like these mega gyms. That's right. Nothing. That's like at 6 o'clock, there's like no chance of getting in from like 6 to like 8. So I could right. see people getting frustrated, but
and
like
also too, I wanted to mention as well, even me who's been working out for a long time, even sometimes I will go into certain gyms and feel out of place or like intimidated. Mostly those gyms are like CrossFit or powerlifting gyms. Like, yeah. Oh, what's this bikini girl just doing on the machine? she can't even, what is her bench press? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You probably don't feel like that because you're a muscular dude. So you can go each and every way. But for me, I mean, I'm not like a powerlifter girl. I don't look like one.
Yeah.
I'm not doing Olympic style lifts at the thing, but it's just, I do kind of feel that sometimes. And you know, that kind of deters me from going to certain gyms just because it's like so hardcore and so based in that it's like, I feel out of place. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I don't want to be like an inconvenience to anybody. I don't want to be like taking up their spots. Like I've been in gyms where that was the thing. And they were kind of rude to me too. Like, I remember one time I was lifting at this gym and this guy went to the bathroom and then I didn't see anybody on the machine. So I was like using it. And then he got all pissed because I was using it. And then he was like, I'm still on that. I just went to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, well, sorry. I didn't see anything here. And he's like, then he pointed to these like one, like, do you know those hand grips that they're just like black squares. And he's like, yeah, see, I left that there. That means I'm still using it. And I'm like, I didn't even see that. Like, he was like, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I kind of, so I can to an extent relate to people that are super, super new in a gym. And, you know, cause I mean, if I get like kind of, you know, feeling like I'm out of place in certain gyms, I can only imagine how they feel.
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of funny. I don't understand. I never understood the whole CrossFit versus bodybuilder thing. I don't know who started that.
I mean, I think it's like, too, if you're a bodybuilder guy, you could probably hang, but I feel like if, I don't know, maybe it's my imagination, but for bikini girls, it's just like, you know, you're not definitely far away from that crowd.
From their culture. Yeah. But it's just weird that it's like that. The culture is lifting weights. However you do it is, it's
probably
the same
think
thing.
Like I'm too small and scrawny or something.
I don't know. I just never understood that. It's like the Capulets versus the Montagues, right? It's like these, I don't understand why we're it's so weird. Who started
it is,
that?
It is weird. And CrossFit's in there too. Like CrossFit, like,
CrossFit,
you know,
versus powerlifting versus bodybuilders.
Which
like, I'm
is
like, dude,
versus everyone. It's so stupid. I
know.
I don't like,
get it.
You know, they'll say to us like, you guys aren't real athletes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't even want to get into it.
That's a whole other, not New Year's resolution.
But yeah, it's like they're so territorial funny. Kind of. Sometimes with certain gyms, they're kind of territorial, I feel like.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't happen at Prep Center.
If no, it certainly will not.
Yeah, no, if anyone ever is a bad vibe there, I just kick them out. permanently. Like, because I don't
have... Your vibe's bad, bro. You gotta leave.
Yeah, no, I have that. I've had to do it three times where it was like guys that were like in the gym and they're just being like jerks, or they're just there to pick up on girls. And I'm like, dude, that's not what this is. This isn't Tinder gym. You know,
this is
like the prep center. I don't charge for memberships. And if you're going to be a dick, you're not going to be welcome here. And that's just how it is, you know? Yeah. So like, yeah, no, I'm big on that. So, okay, so let's go back in. We went off on a little tangent there. I liked it. Let's go back into New Year's resolutions, keeping your goals, staying motivated. What's kind of your take on that? Any helpful tips on that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you always say that there's a fall off rate, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it you that say that there's a fall off rate for
New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, and if you keep the 3 weeks at least is when you form a habit. If you want to go into that a little bit, because I thought that was like if anybody hears anything from this podcast and creating a resolution or even just keeping a goal in general, we don't even have to apply it to the New Year's, but that's really helpful information.
Yeah.
And it's so true if you think about it.
It was over 90% of resolutions. I think it was 96. I think it was, I got to remember the percentage. It was over 90%. I know that of resolutions were already failed by the 15th of January, which is crazy because we're on today was the 8th of January. So tomorrow we'll post this to be the 9th. And so a lot of people have already failed on those resolutions. So I think that the way that we approach resolutions, because it's like the first of the year, it's a clean slate, like we go at it too hard. Right. So they say that if you force yourself to do something for 21 days, the odds of you doing it for 22 and creating that habit is a lot greater. So there's a whole bunch of things that go into motivation, and they actually like studied it, which is really cool. I don't know how you can study motivation, but they they can. I don't know who. I always say they. Who are they?
Yeah, so, who are these people?
These spark people. But so like the conclusion of motivation, you know, and I'm sure it's not agreed upon because it's something like it's. I don't think it's something you can fully study that well. But the motivation, they've come to the conclusion that motivation is a skill, just like any other skill. So you're always like, how's Ashley so motivated? How's Ashley always so doing these shows all the time? I mean, it's been a couple of weeks since the Olympia and Ashley's in here. She's like, I'm bored.
Let's get it going.
She's like, I want to do like 15 shows this year.
Nah, we're going to do like 50. I'm just kidding.
So oh like, but like the first show is until March and she's already
getting yancy over here.
Yeah, getting yancy. So like,
let's get it started.
How does someone like, how come I can't be as motivated as her? And the reality is that it's actually, if you look at it and you say, okay, motivation is a skill, right? I'm not just born with it. You know, maybe some people are more skilled than others in that regard, but motivation is a skill and you can practice motivation and then you can eventually get better and be more motivated person, which is a really cool thing because I think a lot of people are probably like, oh, I just don't have that long-term like motivation, whatever. And they, you know, people know who they are. They know how they are versus everyone else. Some people have struggle with that stuff. I have clients, and by the time I get a client to me, like to my level of client, like they're usually pretty motivated people. You know, when I first started training, like you'd have your regular person who just joined the gym, but now I do get transformations and stuff, but they're usually already on a path. Like when they start like, hey, I've lost 10, 20 pounds. I got 40 more to go. Or, hey, I've been working out for a year and a half. I want to do a show now. So I usually get like more motivated people. Yeah. But even me, when I have even people who you'd think would be motivated all the time because they're pros or whatever, like they struggle just as much as everyone else. And and then you'll see them like throughout the year get more and more focused, and then they get better and better at it. And it's like towards the end of the year, they're like, you can't get them off track. Yeah. So like, you know, I think that it's important for people to know that even the top people struggle with it. And it's a skill that you can practice. And just like any other thing that you practice, you can get better at it. And so just, I think it's important. And Ashley was just talking about it too. And her stuff was just like, don't give up, you know, don't give up. And like, what's been, I mean, you really are like, I think we're both pretty motivated people.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, definitely you. Holy crap.
I mean,
I will say, I think you're a little more motivated than me because you say something that I cannot say is true for myself. You say that you're motivated every single day, and not one day has not been a non-motivating day for you.
Yeah, I think there's I think I'm just hyper obsessed.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was funny. I was listening to like the Joe Rogan podcast and how he works so much, and I'm like, how does he do it for this long? You know, and him, if you look at like Dana White too, like they. Like he works so much. Dana White was president of the UFC, for people who don't know. He's the face of like the, you guys would probably know him if you just saw a newscast or whatever of it. But he was talking about the other day too. And it's funny because Dana White called Chael Sonnen, who's a fighter, and it was like, called him at like 4 a.m. And then Chael answered and he's like, oh, I'm only answering because it's you. He's like, dude, it's 4 a.m. Anything I say right now, I'm not responsible for. Like if I commit to a fight or whatever. And Dana's like, oh, it's 4 a.m. I'm so sorry. I thought it was only 2. Like, and he was still calling from the office phone. Oh. And it's like, and so to him, that was reality. Like he was like, oh, I thought it was only 2 a.m. Like right. A reasonable time to call you, you know, because he works so much and he's so obsessed with it. You know, mm-hmm. He's already super rich. I think he sold the UFC for like, it was something crazy. It was like 400, gosh, was it? No, it had to be more than 400 million. I think he got his share was like 400 million. He's set beyond for life, right? But right. He's still working like that. It's mm-hmm. crazy, right? And then Joe Rogan, same thing. He does these 3-hour podcasts and he'll do another podcast and he'll do a comedy show at night. And then the night before he'll study his person that he's going to be interviewing the whole night. It's right. Crazy. So I'm like, I think that there's certain people that can't control it, to be honest.
Yeah, you're one of those. Yeah, I always say AAA personality. Yeah,
I wish there was a better way, but I wake up thinking about fitness. I go to sleep thinking about fitness. I try not, like, I just, it's, it is what it is.
Do you dream know? About fitness too?
A lot of times.
Do you ever have the same dreams as I do that you completely ruin your diet by eating a cake the night before a show or something?
No, because I'm allowed to eat cake.
Yeah, what are your, do you have fitness nightmares? Like one day you wake up and you're 200 pounds heavier or something?
No, I don't have fitness nightmares. I'll have like, the only nightmares I'll have now would be like, you know what? I really don't really that many. If anything, it's always related to the team. It's always like, oh, if this happened, it would fall apart. Or if this mm-hmm. happened, like anyone that's like really like hyper obsessed is also usually paranoid too. Like good, they say like good.
I'm paranoid a lot.
You know, yeah. They say like good business owners are really good because they're paranoid of what might happen next. So they're constantly trying to avoid that
right.
from happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a constant thing. And I think that's the same with like guys who do fitness hard, like with like a team, like you're paranoid of falling off. You're paranoid of something bad happening, you know. We work with bodies, you know, and so it's some things happen to bodies, and you know, when you have a lot of people, eventually something happens, so you worry about someone getting hurt, like things like that, you know, like you know, there's just weird things happen. So like, yeah, so I worry about that stuff, you know, but it's not like it's really everything else I don't, but it's right. I don't know. Maybe it's I've done this since I was 13 too. So maybe this
is all you know.
Yeah. Maybe it's a skill that you, like we talk about being motivated.
Probably for me too, to an extent.
I mean, I think maybe we both worked so hard and like how we talk about you start off a little bit less mm-hmm. motivated and then you kind of build it as a skill.
Right.
And now it's maybe there's a point where it consumes you. Maybe we both reached that way.
I will say for me though, just unlike you, some days I will have days where I'm not motivated. They're rare, right? But it still happens every once in a while. And I think like a lot of people struggle with that too. And maybe for the most part, they are motivated people, but they just have a few days or maybe a few weeks where it's unmotivated. And it's like, I think what really pushes me is like the end goal or the overall goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So of course I expect to have bad days where my mind isn't there and it just kind of like a whatever kind of day. But what fuels me is like, I'm very ambitious and I keep going no matter what. So although that I, in my mind, I'm like, oh, nothing matters today. It's just blah, you know, just a, you know, one of those kind of days. I just kind of always think of the bigger picture. Like, yeah, I'm having a bad day. I'm having like bad thoughts where it just nothing matters. And I'm just like, whatever, who cares if I work out, who cares what I eat. But I realize from experience that that's just a mood. And it's not going to last long. Maybe I feel that way because I didn't sleep enough. Maybe I'm frustrated about other things in my life that's kind of affecting my mindset, but it's not a permanent thing. So although I'm having a crappy mood today, that's not necessarily how it's going to be tomorrow. So I'll just keep the overall picture in mind. And also I think like one of the reasons why I do stay motivated and I love what I do so much, it just comes from a place of like gratitude. You know, I realize that not many people get to do what I do, that we get to do. We're yeah. kind of living the dream, right?
Yeah.
Heck yes, we are. So it's kind of like you got to appreciate it. So although your mind might not be like the best that day and you just kind of feel blah, it's kind of like, you know what? I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And I, at the end of the day, I'm doing what I love. So I can't really complain, you know, and just hopefully I'm in a better mood tomorrow, and maybe I'll do something that puts me in a good mood, go to a spa, I don't know, whatever, go for a walk, get my mind right, and then, you know, keep pushing the next day.
You're such a girly girl with the pampering. It's so funny.
I love that. I know I talk about that a lot.
She loves it so much.
It's like
well, I'm getting a massage, I'm getting this. Like,
Ashley, you want to go to like the racetrack and do the go-karts? Like, eh, I'd rather go to the spa, get a massage.
Yeah, that's Ashley's. Ashley, if you want to have, you ever want to have fun with Ashley, she wants to go, so you take her to the grocery store.
Yes.
Make sure there's a discount aisle there.
Yes, yes.
And you know, take her for a massage, nails, and pampering. But like when Ashley started coming down to Denver at first, I was like, oh, I don't want her to just be sitting there. We'll go somewhere. So I was like, go go-karting, go this, go that, like all these things. She's like, I could have just taken her to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So, you know who else is like that? Danny Phelps and Breon.
Yeah.
They came to Denver once and I was like, you guys need anything? Want me to go anywhere? They're like, yeah, you were like a Whole Foods. I'm like, yeah, it's fun. I'll go with you guys. And then Breon's like, just so you're aware, we're probably going to be there for like 3 hours. I'm not going to roll with you. He's like, they just love going to like, it's like a bodybuilding thing. Like a lot of people just love going to grocery stores and like hanging out and finding new items. I don't know.
In reading the nutrition labels, like, oh, maybe I can fit this into my plan. let's see what new items they have. And yeah, I do that sometimes. But sometimes I'm just like the thrill of getting a good deal.
Yeah.
Like it's like treasure hunting. You know what? I put it on my Snap yesterday. I went to the grocery store. You won't believe the deals I got. This is so irrelevant to the podcast. But I got yogurts for 15 cents.
How is that even possible?
I know. And some of the stuff you got to realize too is for my boyfriend. So I'm not eating it. I got a frozen pizza, a big one, 16-inch, $1.50. Like, don't even get me started. I'm so good at bargain.
I will say
hunting.
You do. I remember you found those pre-made Kodiak cakes for like $1 a box.
Oh yeah.
And there were like 8 of them in a box. That was, yeah.
And the keto pizzas for 75 cents. Remember that? The keto pizza?
I do.
That are like $8.
Yeah. That's
dude.
Yeah.
I've got a talent. Let me just say, hidden talent, finding good deals. I love it. It's like literally, it's just like treasure hunting. I
yeah.
Love it.
It's pretty fun. But if I see a clearance aisle I'm with her, I just keep walking because I know she's going to just be there for like 40 minutes. So I just keep walking. So I think one of the things, I think this year, this year's taught us a lot about like the health.
You mean 2020?
20. Yeah. I'm sorry. Last year, 2020.
Year.
Taught us a lot about how quickly things can change,
mm-hmm.
how much we should appreciate what we got, and like how, like, are you in the position that you want to be, you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people have been kind of reassessing that, especially with their work and how everything went last year, you know, because when everything first started, you know, with the COVID and everything first started, I mean, a lot of people, like in March, like everyone thought it was like, everyone was scared that everyone was going to die, you know, like we had no idea.
Yeah.
What was going to happen. Like, it was just really, it was a really, really scary time, like in March, and no one knew what the reality was. And then, I think that, you know, we all had to stay at home. We're all worried. We're all like, no one knew what exactly was happening. And then, everyone kind of left their work, was working from home, and it changed the world really, mm-hmm. because we talked about last episode, like it jumped fitness ahead through video, probably 10 years. You know, people are doing more workouts on video. People are doing more personal training sessions on video, things like that through video now. Shows are doing video now at every show. People are working from home. And it gives them the ability to have like more time in their day to do more fitness stuff. Because you got to remember, a lot of people, especially like in these busy cities, you know, a 30, 40 minutes commute to work is very normal. So now that person has an extra hour and 20 minutes in their day, you know, to do something with. Maybe they take up fitness, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing is, it's that you could like look at your life and ask yourself if it is exactly what you would want it to be when you were like 10 years ago, you know? And I think that's always the important thing. Like, I'm not a huge, like, where do you want to be in, you know, like, where do you want to be in 10 years guy? But I like looking, cause I think it's too hard to know what can happen, but I like to look back at it. Okay. If I was 10 years ago, would I be happy and proud of my life? If I said to myself, this is going to be your life in 10 years, would you be like, okay, I'll roll with that. That's cool. You know, now I can say, yeah, I'd be stoked if someone told me 10 years ago, hey, work your ass off every day. And in 10 years, you'll have this, right?
Yeah.
You'll have this prep center thing. I would have been like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll commit to that. You know? So I'm happy with it. But like, I think a lot of people need to ask themselves that. And I think a lot of people are asking themselves that now with how everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things you said, which is you know, don't be afraid to go the extra mile and step outside of your comfort zone.
You have to. You can't expect amazing results with just doing the bare minimum, you know, just getting by. You can't do that. You got to go the extra mile.
I mean,
I think anybody who is successful didn't get there by just doing the bare minimum. You know, these, you know, millionaires that you see and successful athletes, you name it, whoever is successful, they did not get there just like, I'm just going to do the bare minimum I'm just going to get by, you know? No, they went above and beyond. They made a lot of sacrifices in their life. I'm very sure of that. And definitely stepped outside their comfort zone.
Yeah. And so I think that that's something that maybe we could all do a little bit more of, you know, is step outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a good intro to that, this podcast. I'm stepping more into my comfort zone this year a little bit, but no, I think that it's important, you know, and I think that a lot of our listeners see, and you know what, one of the things too, and I'll talk about it a little bit, but like, it's when you look at you, like as like, if I'm like a fitness person and I look at you, I think it's so unachievable. I think it's so other, you know, I'm like, that's cool that she gets to do this. And it's really cool. Like we get to see her and listen to her and watch her, but I can never be that, you know, like I understand when people say that, you know, cause people do say that.
And I will stop you right there and say, if 10 years ago, if you were to ask me that, I would have said the exact same thing. No way in heck I could do that. And I did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Slowly but surely. But yeah, I think that's a true statement.
Yeah, no, for sure. But it's a proven thing and it's happening. Like I'm seeing it happen again to other people, you know, like, and it's like, no, someone has to get that. Like someone has to be like, it was funny. It was like CT Fletcher, right? And his if you guys know CT Fletcher, he's a badass. It's what he is. He's just a total badass. That's all you could, like if you just had two words to describe him, you'd be badass. So if you guys, you know, want to watch YouTube videos or whatever, he's a pretty cool dude. But his mom told him one time, like, you know, you're never going to be the baddest man in the world. And he's like, no, mom, like someone has to be the baddest. Like he uses a lot of customers. He's like, someone has to be the baddest ever in the world. Like there is a guy that will be the baddest. Like there has to be, right? And so that title changes, right? It goes to different people and someone has to be like, so someone's always coming up, you know, and it's is it going to be you this year? Or is it going to be someone else that you look at and is like, oh, they're so lucky now. Right. But I think maybe we'll eventually do a podcast with like Samantha too, who's here right now, but she's another good example of it. I just really like her story because she was just months ago, just an amateur figure competitor. Then she pushed it really hard. She got her pro card, qualified for the Olympia, and now she's living in the US. She's sponsored by Gas, sponsored by Pro Subs. She's coming out, she's gonna work at the prep center. And like just months ago, her life was in Sweden, amateur competitor, like hoping to one day live the dream. Mm-hmm. And now people are looking at her like, I wish I was doing, I'm like, it was months ago. Like it just like that, your life can change. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm seeing these like happen over and over again. And it's like, I'm like, no, this is very realistic. Like it's very realistic to do that if you work hard for years. Like you got to work hard for years and you got to give it your best. But it's not just competing, it's anything you do. Maybe you'll get that promotion this year if you put out that extra effort. You know, maybe you'll get that girl you've been trying to get, you know, for 5 years, whatever. So like I think that you saying, you know, don't be afraid to go to the extra mile and step out of your comfort zone is like a big thing people really need to take in and listen to, because you never know like what can happen with it, you know?
Exactly.
Like I always use the example too. When I was a kid, I would look through these like muscle magazines and stuff. Like I worked at a nutrition store when I was 16 years old at NutriSport. It might've been 15 years old at NutriSport supplement stores. And back then we didn't have internet, you know, it was like, if we did, it wasn't worth anything. And so I'd read all these magazines on the racks, and that's what I would do. I'd read all the magazines and I would read all these like, reviews and things like that. And because you didn't do anything, there's no phone. Nothing back then. It sucked. Like you look at it now, it sounded so, I don't know how we weren't so bored, but I guess you don't realize. You just sit there, read. I would read these fitness magazines and it'd be like all these guys that I look up to, you know, like back then it was like Ronnie Coleman, Dorian Yates, and all these bodybuilders. Stan McQuaid was around back then too. And I would look at them, and now it's like, I'll look through a magazine and I would always look at them and I'd be like, man, I would love to meet them one day. I'd love to meet them one day. And, you know, sometimes I'd see them at like Venice Beach, but a lot of them were like other areas. And it, what's crazy now is I'll go to a store or whatever, and I'll look at the magazines, which there's a lot fewer of now, but I'll go to the store and I'll see the magazines and I'll flip the pages and I'll be like, oh, I know that guy. Like, I got his number in my phone. And I'll flip the page. I'm like, oh, I know that guy. I got his number in my phone. Like, it's so crazy to think like, yeah. Well, I've been doing it hard since then, basically. And, you know, I would have never thought that that'd be a thing, but mm-hmm. like, it's so cool to see, like, if you just work hard, you can accomplish your dreams. And even back then, I didn't even know it was my dreams to be like yeah. here. I just knew I wanted to be in fitness. All I ever wanted to do is be in fitness. I never wanted to be an entrepreneur, like never wanted to do all these things. I just wanted to be in fitness. That's right. All it is. And, you know, and that's kind of part of my 20, like 21 is like, okay, like screw all that other stuff. It's distractions. I don't mm-hmm. need to build anything more. I don't need to have any more products. I don't need to do any of these things. Like, I'm fine now. Mm-hmm. I just want to be Adam the trainer. That's yeah. it. You know, and I loved that life. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that. And that's what's taken me here. And I don't ever want to get away from that. And I think like those are things are a little bit of a distraction. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's a good story for people to hear. Like, people are doing it nonstop. Like yeah. people are getting their goal nonstop by putting forth that effort. And even sometimes things seem crazy to even like too crazy to accomplish. And I think you just got to go for it. You know, when I built the first prep center, I sold my house to get it. Like, it was stupid. Like, if you sell your house, my house was paid off. I sold my house that was paid off to buy a building to have no house that may or may not work that I was selling, not selling memberships to. Like, it didn't make any sense logically. My business friend that like work at like clients and stuff, they're like, what are you doing? Like, wait a minute, you're going to sell your house, spend all your money, all the work you've done for the last like years in your savings to have a gym that's free to not have a house. Like, what, your security's gone. You're this. I'm like, dude, you got to be crazy sometimes. Like, exactly. You got to be a dreamer. And I think that you've done that.
And, a little bit.
I mean,
not to the extent you have, but I mean, I do. Yeah. That is one of like the tips too, is just like take chances and make changes. Don't expect a different outcome if everything stays the same.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take little chances. I think you take bigger chances than I do, but I'm more of a safe, I value security more yeah. than like a big reward, if that makes sense. So you're more of a risk taker than I am, but I do take little chances and yeah. make little changes here and there. And I think that's like, you know, you can very much relate that to like my competitions as well. You know, every time I compete, it's a chance.
Yeah.
But I'm making little changes every single time, regardless of my placing at a show. I took a chance, like I could get first or I could get last, who knows, but I will make a change from whatever the outcome of that show is.
Yeah.
So I can grow and improve. And yeah, you know, you can't change things. You can't expect a great outcome if everything stays the same. You got to take a little bit of a risk.
Yeah.
For the reward.
I think you can see that in time, like over and over again. People who took the biggest risks, like, will get the biggest reward. There was a girl who's like I don't want to say she's a motivational speaker per se, but she tells like, I guess it's motivating. She tells stories about like going at the extra mile and going after it and being a little crazy, right? And like, because what's the worst that's going to happen, you know? And I've gone after it a few times where I've lost. I mean, you got to understand too, I've lost everything multiple times. So I'm a little bit reckless as well as that. And that's, you know, just because I think too big sometimes. And so, you know, I've been down to the bones a couple of times. I mean, once I had to move in with all my friends, like, I mean, I've taken some serious risks, you know? I remember that was like when I was like 22 or something, I lost all my money in a big poker game, because if I would have won that poker game, I would have had a gym. So, but I was like, but if I would have lost it, I would have just been a 22-year-old kid that needed to do it again. So it was like, the risk was worth it, you know, and I almost got it. So I stopped playing after that.
Yeah. I mean, I truly do believe that everything happens for a reason to yes. an extent. I mean, you know, I think sometimes something bad happens like that. And at the time it seems horrible, but you know, further down the line, you think, wow, if that particular thing didn't happen, then the route of my life would have went in a different direction and maybe not for the better. So it's kind of like, you know, what do they say? Hindsight is 2020,
yeah.
But Yeah, it's like, just remember, anytime you go through a hardship or whatever, at the time it might seem horrible, but years down the line, you're going to be like, well, if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't be where I am today. Or this great thing wouldn't have happened if I didn't fail. So it's almost you have to fail to learn. And then once you learn, you can then improve and, you know, take it from there.
They say the best guys failed like multiple times, you know, like even Elon Musk, he failed with a couple of his companies. And then at one point he had to like make the decision of which company to keep alive. And so like, he just took crazy risks and look at him now. Now he's flying his cars to the, to the space, which doesn't make any sense at all. But he's like, he's just doing crazy things and growing this crazy, incredible brand for of Elon Musk. Right. But the girl that I was referencing, she was talking about failing. She was like, you're going to fail probably 9 out of 10 times if you're trying to do something extraordinary. But that one time, you know, or she says, try 10 times doing the same thing extraordinary. So you're going to fail multiple times trying to do it, is what she means. And it's really cool to see, like, you just got to get good at failing and be not afraid to fail. Like I think that's one of the things that separates the doers from the stay safers. And I'm just going to stay at this job and it pays me okay. And I'm not super happy here, but it's stable and, you know, that type of thing. And I think that like the people who are the more the risk takers and more of the triers is just, they're not afraid of failing. They're not afraid of getting slapped in the face by life, you know?
And not only that, not only do you have to fail, but you have to learn. But in order to learn, you have to almost be, you can't be stubborn. You can't be like, oh, I failed because of this and this and this and this. You got to learn from it. You got to be like willing to accept the failure to learn from it. Cause I'm, you know, a lot of people fail, of course, but maybe they're blaming somebody or something, making excuses, but it's almost like in order to grow, in order to learn, you have to accept it. You have to realize what you did wrong. What was your fault? What wasn't your fault perhaps. And then like take steps to improve that and to make that not happen again.
Yeah. It's all learning. You know, life is just a big learning lesson, you know? Right. So I think that the risk takers are the ones that, obviously the risk takers are the ones that change the world and accomplish their goals. So I hope that all of you do, but I'm going to go back to this girl because it's a crazy story. I should get to it.
Oh yeah. I was like, how many times did you go?
Right?
Sorry.
So it's my fault. So she was talking about, hey, you know, you got to fail. You're going to fail 9 out of 10 times. You just got to get comfortable with failing. You got to get good at failing, and getting good at failing is kind of what you're talking about, which is learning from it each time, you know, you fail, whether that's in the gym and you quit, on your diet and you're cheating or whatever. You just got to get better at failing and learning from it, you know? And so, because it's going to happen, like, just so we're all clear, like, I'm going to probably fail probably 10 times this year, like trying to not to a prep with someone, whatever. I mean, it's going to happen. It happens all the time to me, to everyone. So she was like, well, I'm going to take risk. I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to ask for it, even if it's not realistic. And so she was like 16 years old or 15 years old. And she was in Canada, and Keanu Reeves was at this play. Keanu Reeves was doing Hamlet at a play. And it was like, first, he was already, you know, super famous at that point. And he was like, you know, I've always wanted to do Hamlet. I'm going to do the Hamlet play. And it was in Canada, and it was like freezing cold. And so this girl waited for him to come outside the building. And she kept waiting and waiting and waiting. She was waiting outside an hour and a half, and it was like minus like crazy degrees. Like, it was, I don't even know how cold it gets up there. But she was like, she was basically like frostbitten. All her friends left her at that point. And then she went to Keanu Reeves and said, if I can get an interview with Keanu Reeves, I can get my dream job. So I'm just going to ask him for it. And so like, she finally found him. She waited for like an hour and a half in the freezing cold, and then went up to him. She's like, Keanu, she's like, you're my ticket to my dream job, and I need your help. And he's like, I guess he like brushed her off. And he's like, yeah, right, lady. Like, he's like, you want an autograph? Like, I can give you an autograph. She's like, no, I don't want an autograph. I want to interview you so I can record it and submit it as my, submit it as her interview tape, right? She's like, cause you're the key to the ticket to my dream job. And he's like, give me your number, whatever. Like he brushed her off, right? And then, so she went back to school and everyone's making fun of her. They're like, hey, had the Keanu call you yet? Like, cause everyone heard the story, like, cause her friends all left her and everything. They're like, and everyone was teasing her. And then 2 days later, Keanu Reeves called her, and he called her and he like left a message. And then the next thing you know, she's interviewing him on her mom's couch, right? Keanu Reeves, which is, it's funny. It's a crazy story to think about. One, Keanu Reeves really grew in my book when I heard this story. Because I mean, I mean, gosh, how busy that guy must have been to drive to some girl's house, sit on the 16-year-old girl's mom's couch with her mom interviewing, holding the camera. Like, for his level,
yeah.
Hats off to you, Kiana, for like giving someone a chance, you know? And since then she learned that lesson, and she talks about the lesson of life of like, hey, like, just go for it. Cause you never know. You just never know like what's gonna happen. And I think that with like New Year's resolutions and fitness and all that, like you really do have to go for it, because what if, you know, we talk about what if a lot, but especially like where it could take you, like what if you are the next Ashley, you know, maybe you're a coach and you're the, I mean, I don't know if you'd want to be the next me, but maybe you'd be the next, you know, next someone like me, or have your own stuff, you know, your own gym or whatever. Like there's so many things that could happen and that do happen to regular people that I think that we all need to like take a step back from where you're at right now and be like, okay, what could I be doing that could be more? Do I want to be more? And what do I got to do to get there? And I think that you're really good at that. You know?
Yeah. I think like there too becomes a time, and this definitely relates to the Keanu story you just told, that like, you know, you keep trying, you keep at it. And at some point you're going to have like an opportunity or a big break. Yeah. And I think like when it comes to fitness, or even like, let's say you're trying to lose weight or something, like there comes a point where you're like, something shifts, like your mindset shifts and you're like, I can do this. Like for me, I know that the moment I was like, oh wait, I could actually be something in the sport, was whenever I won the Arnold amateur overall, because I went from just like, I'll get placed at a show, top five or whatever, but you know, so that winning that show, and since it was so big, I realized like, whoa, I could actually do something with this sport. Like I can make it, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure you have maybe a moment like that too, where like, it just clicks like, wait a minute, I can do this. Like yeah. I can be something great. And I think if you keep trying for long enough and you keep consistent, one of those light switches will just turn on like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I can do this. I can be something, you know?
Yeah, I think that it's, I do. Mm-hmm. I think actually, I really believe that. I think that it's weird how it works, you know? And it's funny because I kind of use this like example I've told you before too, where like when you're trying to get somewhere, it's funny because like when I was like trying, because all of this, like me getting good at coaching started because I was a crappy bodybuilder, which I think is the best thing I could have ever happened to me, was being a crappy bodybuilder. Because I think if I was a good bodybuilder, I would have been so focused on me. And I did okay, but like that I was so bad at it. I wasn't like terrible. I was, you know, I did okay. But like I was so bad at it. Yeah, I was mediocre. I would say like, you know, I'd be like, I hope I get top five at a local show today, yeah. You know, type of thing, which is, you know, that's cool. But like I was doing it for a decade at that point. So like you should have been excelling past that point. But like it was only bodybuilding back then too. I wish Men's Physique was around earlier. But like I just kept studying and studying because I was like, okay, I can get better at this because I know I can be smarter than all these guys, because I grew up in a nutrition store at 16, 15, I might've been 15. And I grew up in there just reading and researching. And like, it was just, and I was like the local guy that knew things. And the next thing you know, I was helping bodybuilders, but it was only helping them to be cool because I was 16 years old and this guy was listening to me who had muscles. And I was like, oh, it's cool. The more I learn, more these guys will be my friends, kind of thing, you know, because I was kind of a loner. And so like, but me being like, if I was like really good, which is what I wanted originally, to be like the next, you know, Ronnie Coleman or something, like that might've been, you know, that was so technically that would have been my failure, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't accomplish that, but then it led me here. And so I think the path, just you learning lessons along the way of your failures, right, can lead to something great. And like mm-hmm. one day it just clicks. Like you talked about, like, it was funny because when I was coming up as an athlete, I was like, man, this is expensive, like supplements and food and this and that. And I'm like, it's really funny is that like the better you get, the more stuff comes free, you know, like, yes. So it's like now I get free clothes, I get free food from, you know, Trifecta takes care of me. You get all these, like nothing's like, you, now you finally have enough to pay for these things and you don't pay for any of it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. It's like, it's just one day, like all of a sudden, like things start rolling, mm-hmm. you know, it just starts going and going and going, you know, you're not like begging for people to train with you anymore. You get to kind of like pick. And it's like all these, it's just a matter of, but it's just a lot of daily actions, like every single day. And whether it's like by force or by instinct. Like mine was based on, I guess, obsession. I'm obsessed with it. But like, if you can just try a little bit more each day and learn that, put out that daily effort, then you end up 5 years from now being somewhere totally you didn't even expect.
Right. Exactly. Those opportunities show up, and you can't predict when or what opportunities they will be, but you gotta take advantage of those opportunities. I always say, like, you know, I think one of the reasons why I got to where I was I took every opportunity that would better myself. I took everyone, even if the opportunity was inconvenient, you know, bad timing, or, you know, I just didn't,
I would agree.
Too tired. I took those opportunities. I was like, no question, gotta do it. I'm gonna do it.
I would agree. And you still do that a lot too.
Yeah.
Like a photo shoot, an interview, a this, a that.
Yeah.
Like you really do take a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've sometimes maybe too much. Cause like around the Olympia time, remember that one year you're on your feet for like 19 hours the day before the Olympia?
Oof.
Yeah. That was, but it's cool though, cause you understand the whole light scenario, you know?
Yeah.
The longer you can kind of stay in the light, the better it's going to be. And even if it's inconvenient, you just kind of don't let that light dim on you, cause you never know when it's going to come back and you never know when you're going to get it. But I think everyone gets that chance at that light, but you got to kind of open the doors to open the light, you know?
Yes.
And you got to like force it open sometimes. It might take some effort.
Metaphor.
You know?
Or what metaphor would you call
it? Yeah, you're right.
That was a good metaphor.
So
it's definitely, and you know, just realize that the world is just full of possibilities. You just can't sit back and wait for them to come to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be that easy. You just sit and everything comes to you and you figure it out. No, you kind of have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You have to take those opportunities. You got to explore. You got to put forth the effort on a consistent basis. Anybody can put forth effort for weeks.
Yeah.
But probably you're going to have to do more than just weeks, months, years, maybe.
Yeah.
So just realize that, like, you know, you might be one of those people that are pessimistic and just think nothing works in your favor, but you're not really opening those doors for possibility because you're not really putting forth the effort. Because in life, it doesn't just come to you for most people. It's not like you're just gonna one day wake up and somebody offers you a great opportunity to do something. You kind of have to put your feet in the water a little bit, dip that toe in, be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm gonna attempt this. I'm gonna put forth effort. And hopefully, you know, the cards will fall into your favor and things start happening and it becomes more clear how you will get to that goal or accomplish things.
I think that, yeah, you can, there's a lot of like references that we could probably, like, now that I'm doing this episode with you, I'm like thinking of all these people who did that. And I'm like, yeah, they all, for the most part, most of them worked out, you know, people that took these big risks, like Tori would be a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Tori, if you guys don't know who Tori is, she's like basic, if you want to call someone the, her fiance calls her the COO of Team Elite Physique. she runs basically the show, inside of the Team Elite Physique, but she came out to Denver, you know, years ago, it was like 7 years ago or something now. And, one day, like just, she had her degree in dietetics and she was like, you need an assistant? I was like, you know what? I do, but just like super part-time. I think it might've been like 8 years ago now. I was like super part-time. Like I don't have, maybe only on Thursdays and Fridays to like help with like with getting like check-ins and whatnot. And then she came, which was my house at the time. I had like just a house office. So she came to the house and I was like, yeah, just tell your boss at work that you just need like Thursdays and Fridays. She's like, oh, I quit. And I was like, what do you mean you quit? I only have a part-time gig for you. Like, what do you mean you quit? And like, I was like, oh crap. I gotta take care of this girl. It's like a responsibility, you know? But she took that risk and like committed to the process.
Mm-hmm.
And like now she's, you know, she's like too busy now. You know, she's got clients that want to train
with
her.
She's such a boss.
Yeah, man. She just gets it done, you know?
I think I might be older than her, but I want to be like her when I grow up.
Yeah.
I want to be like her. She's such a boss.
Yeah,
I love it.
She's super, yeah. So like, it just shows, there's just so many examples of that. Another one was Sam Catlin. Like people, like she works for us too. She does super full-time. She's one of our most requested like coaches. And she's like pretty much too busy now. Like she's probably booked up entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And, but her getting there, like, so she was an athlete of mine like 5 years ago. And then I was like, you know what? We need someone to train our people in person. Like we need a coach to like just train people. And I was like, you know, she has a minor in nutrition. And so I was like, I was like, yeah, maybe one day we could bring her on, but I'm not comfortable yet with her. So I was like having her train, and then everyone loved her as a trainer. And I was like, Dan, everyone loves her. Like, even she was at Armbrust Pro Gym, and even Dylan, who's the owner of Armbrust Pro Gym, he's like, dude, your crew is crazy good. He goes, they pay attention. They're attentive to the workouts. Like, he's like, I wish all the trainers here were like Sam and like Tori. I was like, she is good, huh? He's like, yeah, dude, she's really good. So for her to get to be like a coach, she asked me every day for 2 years, and I'll never forget this. Every day for 2 years before she'd leave the office, when she'd come into the office, she'd say, is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you with check-ins? I'm like, no, not today, Sam, not yet. Yeah. Every day, every single day for 2 years, maybe about a year and a half. And then finally one day I was like, yes, you can help. And now, now the end of the story, but you got to ask for it too, you know?
Yeah,
you got to ask for it. Like, I get crazy people but people that are like risk takers will ask me from like, a different country. And they're like, Adam, I'll fly to the United States and I'll work for you for free for a year just to prove myself, because I want to be an elite coach. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I don't have it right now available for you, but I'm going to save that number. I'm going to save that name, because like, that's a pretty passionate person, to be able to like, because I don't know their situation. Maybe they'll be living homeless for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to tell me, but they just want it so bad. And that's the people that are going to get it,
Right.
And so, yeah, for Sam to be told no 450 times, and then to still be asking, and now she has it, and she's like one of the most requested coaches. Like, it just shows you, you got to ask for it. You got to be uncomfortable. You got to be comfortable failing. You'd be comfortable saying no, because most people would hear no the first time or the second time, like, oh, I don't want to bother Adam, he's busy. Mm-hmm. Usually a lot of people say that to me. It's okay. Just so you guys know, like, you're not bothering me. Like, it's okay. I'm not that busy. Like, I want people to ask those questions, but, it just shows you, like, get out of your comfort zone and go for it. And you never know. Maybe it's your boss at work. Maybe you want that next opportunity and you just got to ask him. There's both sides of it. I could see how some people get annoyed by it. I never got annoyed by it. I always thought it was cool. I love stuff like that. I love when people put themselves out there vulnerably and like you say, like, basically they're just out there,
Right.
do what you want. Like, it's just such a vulnerable position so many times, to ask for that. And it's just so cool.
I want to touch on this point as well, because I think a lot of times people fail because they're they talk, right? Talk. They want to do this. They're going to do this. They can't wait to do this, but they never do.
Yeah.
The walkers versus the talkers. Oh my gosh. Hopefully none of my friends are listening to, I have friends that are talkers. They will talk. Oh yeah, I'm going to do this. I will do that with you. Actually, yeah, let's go training. Yeah. I want to get in shape too. Yeah, let's do it. And they're so excited. They convince you that they're about to do something, but you find, no, they just talk. They talk, because they're afraid to take that step, or they don't want to, or it's inconvenient for them, So I think don't let that talk get to your head too much. You can hype yourself up, say you're going to do this and this and this, but if you're going to talk and you're going to talk to other people, like, follow through,
Yeah.
Don't be a talker, be a talker and a walker.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
A doer.
Yeah.
I can't stand that. I can't stand the talk. I'm going to do this. I'm so excited. Blah, 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 blah. And nothing comes of it.
Yeah.
Because they won't even take that first step.
I'm the same way. It really does. Like, as a coach, like, it's frustrating when you have someone who's like not sticking to their plan. And they're like, this week I'm going to do it though. This week I'm going to do it though. And I'm like, you've said that like every 3 weeks. And then you stick to it for the week that you say it, and then you set yourself back 4 weeks with that one bad week. And so every month we're net losing 1 week, because we're just trying to catch up to where you were before you had the bad week. So like, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It's going to take a long period of time. It's like the same people who like do really bad, and then they're like, I'm just going to do cardio the next day. Like, I'm just going to do cardio, make up for it. I'm like, no, that day's gone. You're not making up for 2000 calories worth 300 calories worth of cardio. It's not going to happen.
And the excuses it's like, dude, we all have excuses. I have excuses why I don't have to be here. And I'm sure you have the same excuses. Like, you have 50 other things you could do. You're busy. You got to do this, that, but we're here. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Just like anything in life, you kind of have to accommodate, and nothing's going to be set up super nicely. It's going to be inconvenient times, especially with fitness. Eliminate the excuses, because people that are really dedicated and really do want this and are willing to work hard will find a way to make it happen. Okay. No one wants to hear your excuses. Sorry. We all have our excuses that we could use, but no one wants to hear them. Just do it.
I love
make it work some way, somehow.
I love it. Feisty, yeah. I like Feisty Ashley in 2021. Yeah. But I think that it's a good thing. People need to hear it, you know? I think there's a lot of our listeners are really motivated people and they don't need to do it. But I think a lot of people that are listening to it will be like, yeah, she's right. And I think one of the things, especially with like New Year's coming around, is like, I get this question a lot as a coach.
Coming around. Or my gosh, Adam, it's like 359 days away or something.
I'm sorry, with New Year's happening recently, the people will oftentimes be like, oh, when should I start? When should I start? And a lot of people like wait for New Year's. Like it's to me, it's always weird when they ask, when should I start? Like, when should I start prepping? When should I start this? Like, I'm like, now's the time.
Yeah.
Like if you're waiting, because fitness is not a 16-week process. It's years, you know, it's years and years to get to be like that top level. It's going to take you at least like, even if your genetics are great, it's going to take you like a year and a half to get an awesome bikini body.
So if you guys need a wake up call or a sign from above to start now, it's right here, right now. Me and Am's telling you to start now.
Just start now.
Finish the podcast first and then start. Go to the grocery store, get your foods, go to the gym, start right now, right now.
Yeah, because
there's your sign.
People will wait, right? People will wait for that. They're like, well, I got this vacation coming up. I got this coming up. I got whatever, right? I got a wedding to go to and I'm going to eat bad there or whatever. And I'm like, look, fitness takes so long that you're never going to have a time period where nothing's inconvenient within that period.
Right.
Like, it's like saying, you know, fitness takes a year to even really like make huge changes. Like a prep takes 16 weeks, whatever, but like full fitness, like you're trying to really accomplish it. Yeah, there's going to be 10 holidays a year, a friend getting married, a birthday, a this, a that, a New Year's, a Christmas, of whatever you do. And that's all going to happen during your fitness journey. It's never going to be exactly amount of days in a row where there's nothing inconvenient at all. Like something is going to happen no matter what. So like fitness, don't wait for it, you know, because if you wait for it, you're just never going to get there, period. Like it's never going to line up in a way where it's convenient. It's always super inconvenient. And I love fitness, but it's still inconvenient to me. Yeah. Like it's still, I'm like, oh, I better make time today to go to the gym and do this. And like, so if you're waiting for it, like that has to stop. Like it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to be convenient. So anything else you want to go into too, Ash?
Yeah, I would say don't give up so easily. Like, kind of going off what you just said, it's not always going to be convenient. You're going to have rough days. You're going to have days perhaps where you just are mentally just like blah. You just want to sleep. You just want to sit home in your pajamas eating chips, you know, whatever. Maybe something happened in your life that kind of throws off your mood or just not feeling physically that, you know, energized. But push through. It's a day. Maybe it's a week, but that's not permanent. And just keep going because, you know, I think a lot of times people assume like the really fit people, like maybe me, like I never have bad days or I never have days where I just don't feel like going to the gym, but I do have those days too. You just got to push through to see the bigger picture.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. And I think it's just the more you give in to the voice telling you not to work out, the louder it gets on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you just can't turn them off and you just don't work out.
Yeah.
And I go through that too. Sometimes I'm at the gym and I'm having a crappy workout and I'm like, oh, I should just call it. But I don't give into it because I know what it leads to. It leads to bad habits. Just like if you try a little bit more each day and you get better, if you try a little bit less each day, you get worse. And so I hear that voice in my head. It's the, you know, it's Fat Adam. And he's like, he's like, just be Fat Adam. It's easier. You don't need to be at the gym right now. You could be doing this. And like, I'm like, I don't really say it like this, but I'm like, shut up, Fat Adam. I'm going to work out. Right. And it's like, that voice gets louder or he gets quieter, you know? And if you just train, you know, your Fat Adam inside of you to like, not let you get there, then he will just eventually not even talk, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important because so many times we're driving home from work or whatever. And then that voice comes up. You're whoever inside of you. Was that offensive? Hopefully it's not offensive. These days, everything's offensive. I don't even care. So if you're offended by that, listen to something else. So, they start speaking up and getting louder. And it's just like, that creates that its own habit, like we talked about. And I think it's really important. And I think it's so important that you just go through and have that shitty workout that day, you know? Mm-hmm. like, I think you should take a week off.
Happy workout is better than no workout.
Yes. You know? I think it's important that we all deload once in a while and take time off of the gym. That's important because your nervous system needs that rest period and whatnot. And sometimes your mind needs that rest period too. But listening to that voice and quitting during workouts and not going when you should be going, that's a different thing.
Yeah, earn your rest, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, you do a hard show, you prep, you basically kill yourself for 16 weeks, which really it is. I mean, really, you're eating little, you're burning a lot, you're out of energy, and you're like forcing yourself to be in this kind of tough spot. And then you earn your rest. So I guess with that, we will leave you on a note of have a happy new year.
I mean, have a happy 2021. New Year happened over a week ago.
Gosh, I just don't get the new year.
Happy 2021.
Happy 2021. Yes. Thank you for that. Glad you didn't learn this stuff. And crush your goals this year. And like, I want everyone to, I think it's important that you like maybe write down your goals and like have like a talk with yourself, you know, and ask yourself, okay, am I going to do everything this year to get where I want to next year? And where I can look at 2022 and say, okay, I did everything. I think 2020 I understand a lot of people couldn't do what they wanted to do in 2020. I mean, some things just weren't even open, you know? So I get that. But now things are opening up. The opportunities are there. You can go after it. Talk with yourself and do what you got to do every day so that 2022, you can be proud of your 2021.
Yes. And then, you know, even looking even farther in the future, just ask yourself, where do you want, you know, that whole question, ask yourself, where do you want to be in 10 years? Well, then you can look back and be like, oh, I'm proud of what I accomplished and I don't have any regrets. I think that's the worst feeling is a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Regrets. Like, oh, what if I would have just started to be more fit in 2021? I would have been healthier and maybe not had these health problems, or maybe I could have been a successful competitor, whatever the goal may be. Just it's kind of cool to look back and be like, I'm pretty proud of myself.
You know what? So I'm going to end it. There's another, this leads to one more story. And there's a guy and he goes to retirement homes with like people who are older. And also he goes to, what is it called when people are like, I hate to say this, but I just don't know any other ways. When they're dying, when they're passing away. Hospice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he talks to people who are like, don't have anyone there or whatever. And he says it really created some self-awareness for him. And it was like the most motivating thing for him in a bad way. Like he felt bad about it. He was taking from their lessons when they're, you know, passing. And he said, no one talks about like all the things they did in their life there. He's like, some guys would talk about their marriage and the important things like their family. He goes, but more than not, I would hear people talk about, they wish they would have done this more. They wish they would have tried harder here. Mm-hmm. I could have been this. I could have done that. I didn't do enough with my life, like that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And like that stuck with me to the point where I'm like, I don't want any juice left in my tank when I'm there. I want to be like, man, I'm exhausted. This death needs
you
to come.
You live the life. Yes.
Just take me out. I'm tired. like I want to be there, you know? And I think that they say, I forget who, I think it was Les Mills. No, Wes, I forget. But he said, there's no more, he's like, there's more dreams, more unfulfilled goals at the graveyard than anywhere else in the world. And he goes, and I'm not going to allow any of those to be at my grave. So like, it's just something that I think it's good to like hear, even though it's like, that's just the reality of it. It's sad, but it's the reality of it. Don't leave any stone unturned, really go after it. And don't go to your, you know, we're all, you know, your deathbed eventually, which is kind of morbid, but like with those regrets of like, I could have done more.
And even if you do it and you fail, at least you tried and you know, but not knowing that you could have been something great or done something amazing is the worst feeling.
Yeah. Remember that was kind of like, remember that time we were jumping those cups?
Yeah.
And I think we got to jumping 10 cups or nine. I think it was 9 cups. And then we jumped like 9 cups. And then Ashley was like running. She was having to run and jump like through the posing room. And she was maxed out, like fully maxed out.
Yeah.
And then I knocked over 9 cups stacked on top of each other, those red solo cups. And then I walked over and I did 9. And I was like, no, I'm going to try it again. I think I can do it. And then I did 9 and I cleared it. And I was like, wow, I cleared 9. I was like, let's go for 10. And Ashley was like, you already got him hit 9. Like, there's no way you're gonna hit 10. I couldn't hit 10. Like, I'm like, no, I have to know. I have to know that I can't.
That would have been your biggest regret in life.
but it's those little things. It's those little things that like, you can't, even the little things, you know, you gotta go for it because like, it creates habits. And I knew that was like my own thing. I was like, okay, what if I could? I'm never going to be in the scenario where I'm just setting up, like I'm setting up 10 cups again. Like, it's stupid that we're even doing this, but like, I just have to know. I just have to know if I could do it. I didn't, of course, hurt my knee actually for like 3 weeks. Hurt my knee, but it was just this is a good example of like, you know what, just find out, you know, see what you're made of, find out, go for it this year, like give it all of your workouts. Maybe you could be the next, you know, men's physique Olympia champion or bikini Olympia champion. Like, what if you did give it your all for a year? What would happen at the end of the year if you actually gave it your all for the whole year? I think that's pretty cool. It's pretty scary to think about because so many people don't even know how great they can be, you know, and that's to me, that's a tragedy that you don't, you know, there's so much greatness left inside of people that we just got to get out of them. And then it's just self-belief and self-doubt is what's causing it to stay inside. And it's like, man, just don't even give into that. You know, don't give into people saying like their negative stuff all around you. Don't give into that and just like be the absolute best you can. Cause you never know, you might be the next Power Ranger, you know? So, all right.
I'm the yellow Power Ranger.
You know, you're
what's
yellow.
Yeah,
you're
I'm yellow. The yellow Power Ranger. Yeah.
I'm the pink Power Ranger today. All right. With that, guys, thank you so much for listening. Always appreciate it. And yeah, congrats on the Buff Bunny thing too.
Thank you.
Ashley K Fit on that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Prep Center is going to be open to Team Elite Physique by February for sure.
Yay.
I don't know when it's going to be open to the public. I want to see, I do want to see how many people it can handle and how many people like will be taking up the spots. Cause it's not like huge. It's 6,000 square feet, but only 3,000 square feet if it's a gym. But posing classes will be open to the public when that happens, but probably not the gym part until we can figure out the volume issues. So if there is a volume issue, I don't know if there will be. Mm-hmm. So anyway, guys, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.